Peekaboo, I can't see your data? Hell no, he must go. And it's not me, it's you. These stories are much more on today's episode of MSP Dispatch.
Today's episode of MSP Dispatch is presented by A Very Merry MSP Holiday. 25 days of giveaways of amazing gifts for MSPs near and far. Simply register for a chance to win, then, beginning December 1st, each day we will randomly select a winner of that day's gift. To learn more or register to win, visit go.oit.co/Christmas.
Ho, 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 and good morning. Welcome to the December 20th episode of MSP Dispatch, your source for news, community events, and commentary in the MSP channel. I'm Ray Rossini, joined as always by my co-host, Mr. Tony Francisco. How you doing, Tony?
Good, brother, good. I'm nice and casual, kind of preparing slowly for the nice holiday season. And plus, it's chilly. It's like below 70 degrees here in Florida.
It was 61 this morning. And the rest of the country is like, it's like 35 here. I'm like, whatever, Arkansas. This is our 2 days of Christmas. No, and Christmas Day is supposed to be like actually cold. I can't wait. So speaking of stuff in the atmosphere and above, have you heard the story about the NASA Icon? So the NASA Icon, it's this, this explorer they launched in 2019, right? October 2019. It stands for the Ionospheric Connection Explorer. Sounds good. So apparently it lost contact on November 25th and they haven't been able to reestablish contact yet. Before you ask, yes, they tried turning it off and on again. Didn't work. I mean, to be fair, it completed its mission. Its mission was until 2021. It did its job. So now it's just taking vacation. But do you know any astronauts that can go like control, delete, or whatever the process is? I don't know what they should be doing with that.
Did you reboot it three times? That's the rule.
Right?
Power cycle it three times. How do you lose something like that?
I don't know. I just want to know who the astronaut is with those like big gloves with like the paper clip to put it in the pinhole. I have to imagine that's how the process goes. I don't know. Let us know in the comments if you know the process for NASA. We have so many viewers. Somebody maybe does. But for now, what do you say we get into the real stuff?
Let's get into the news.
In our top story written by Ravi Lakshmanan on thehackernews.com, Google has finally announced its long-awaited client-side encryption for Gmail. It has been released in its beta form for workspace and education customers. Using client-side encryption in Gmail ensures sensitive data in the email body and attachments are indecipherable to Google servers. The company said in a post, customers retain control over the encryption keys and identity service to access those keys. We should note that client-side encryption is not the same as end-to-end encryption. Client-side encryption only protects the data at rest and allows your organizations to utilize their own cryptographic keys. The service does require administrators to set up an encryption key service through either a Google partner such as FlowCrypt, Fortanix, FutureX, StormShield, Thales, or Virtru, or they can build their own service using the Google APIs. This latest announcement follows Google Drive and Google Meet, which also offer client-side encryption. Tony, client-side encryption is good. We want to be clear, this is not end-to-end, so it doesn't mean the email you send will be encrypted on the other side. But for a lot of organizations, they want the data that they have locally to be encrypted. This is a good step towards that, right?
Mixed emotions. So in the email world, this started off as a term called encryption at rest. And the encryption at rest is exactly that. It's resting. It's back there. Everyone wants it encrypted from end to end over the pipe. So a man in the middle can't come in and listen to what's going on. But what happens if somebody hacks into your local environment? What if somebody walks in your environment as a cleaner and then pulls out a hard drive and runs away and they have all of your data? And that resting state, that encryption at rest state became critical. Not just critical, it's now just table stakes. You just have to do it. So the answer is yes, I absolutely love it. But is there also an end-to-end encryption? We're talking about two completely different components. And then what are those recovery methods? I loved the long list of partners that can do the implementation. I love that. Like when I hear about all these these new people that are giving different skill sets and perspectives on how to do a best implementation or best practice. That's great. So what are your thoughts on this?
So you're blowing my mind here. You're saying like Mission Impossible lied to me. You can't go to the server and just pull the drive out and you have all the data. I mean, come on, dude. Come on.
I'm sorry.
No, I just realized I was doing this gesture also while I was muted. So I can only imagine what's going through your mind. So the fact that you kept a straight face, even better. No, but I mean, absolutely. You want data encrypted at rest and in transit. You want audit logs. You want to be able to go back through versions. You want immutable storage. These are all the tenets of a good data warehousing, architecture. So yes, data at rest, fantastic. I'm happy to see it. I hope, you know, clients understand. And to me, these are enterprises, medium-sized businesses that are actually going to take advantage of this. I would love to see MSPs taking advantage of this. I know Microsoft 365 is the golden goose when it comes to MSPs, but there are plenty I meet every day still using Google Workspace. So that MSP that can say, we not only work with Google Workspace, we know how to protect your data and we can work with these partners to get it done. Those are the real big money services I'd love to see in the MSP space. Do you see MSPs taking advantage of this?
You know, I am fascinated by the two completely opposing perspectives in the MSP community. You have one view from the MSP and from the consumer level that is the SMB market that says, hey, listen, what happens in the SMB market in the consumer level drives the enterprise. And the other side of that says, no, the enterprise does it. And then 10 years later, the SMB does it. I'm fascinated by it. The good news is everybody is slowly moving the standard higher. So I love seeing the MSP business that straddles both sides. I love seeing the MSP that, you know, deals with Kaseya ConnectWise, model. But then there's also the ServiceNow level MSP, and that's a much larger level of a clientele base. It doesn't matter though. Security is security. Data at rest, encryption at rest, data encrypted, data transit, data residency location concerns. Those were things that were never discussed and now they are at the forefront and I love talking about it. So yes, I love what I see.
I love it. And it's not just SMBs talking about enterprises. Sometimes the enterprise wants the boss to go. Can you give us some light on that?
Whew, what a lead in coming straight from the New York Times. Looks like Elon Musk may have to step down. On Sunday, Elon Musk asked if he should step down as the head of the social media site Twitter. 57.5%, that's over 17 million votes, said he should quit. Since purchasing Twitter for $44 billion, there's been mass layoffs, falling advertising sales, executive resignations, and various high-profiled user accounts suspended for infracting new policies. On Sunday, Twitter announced a policy to prevent users from sharing links and usernames from other social media platforms, such as Instagram, Facebook, Mastodon. And then they seem to retract that policy. Ray, there's a lot of things to unpack here, and if we just kind of peek under the hood and look at what's going on. I'm not seeing anything good.
And the poll has him like in favor of getting removed. Like that's the best part. I mean, why would you ask this? You don't even need to ask this. If you've been paying attention to the news for the last, hell, if you've been paying attention to MSP Dispatch for the last 3 weeks, like, you know, we could have told you, Elon, like, forget the poll. Just come to us. You know, Tony and I will tell you exactly what's going on.
Literally since the purchase, there was a lot of concerns, Dude, like before the purchase, I was the first one sitting there talking about it and people were like, I don't think that's not going to happen. People aren't going to be interested. Now everybody's watching every day and we're like, dumpster fire. Whoa. Sorry.
I mean, besides the dumpster fire that Tony and I love watching. Okay. If you're asking why we brought this story to MSP Dispatch, it's this. How many CEOs and obviously Elon is the extreme end, but how many CEOs, how many owners assume that they're doing a good job, not in the eyes of their clients, but in the eyes of the employees. All right. So to give you an example, I make sure that I also am reviewed by my peers every 6 months, in addition to the rest of the staff. And I honestly, I hate it. I hate hearing the feedback because I think I'm doing great and I think I'm doing awesome. Then I get the feedback like, these are areas you can improve. I'm like, oh, I hate to hear that. So, you know, maybe the idea of maybe not this specific question, but the idea of polling your staff to get their real opinions, maybe that's not such a bad thing. I mean, am I off base here? Am I crazy?
No, I love that. I'm also of the opinion, because of the sanctity of that opinion. Not the boss creates a mechanism to poll people, but hey, we're going to let you guys create the mechanism and make it anonymous and make it true, because what are friends for if they're not to tell you the truth? Now you have to sprinkle in the, is this for the benefit of the employee? That may not be for the benefit or the betterment of the company. Right. You have to, you know, as the boss, you have to make those decisions, and you can smell that pretty quickly. But A, it's never, ever pleasant to get constructive criticism. B, it's very difficult to find constructive criticism that matters. So you have two completely polar opposites. In this particular case, I think the general consensus is we have massive polarity, and this is going to be I'm going to purchase this for $44 billion. You know, free speech for everyone. Wait, hold on. You're talking about me. I'm deleting your account, or I'm suspending your account. Hey, by the way, it's all about free speech. This is what this is, a platform. Whoa, you can't put anyone else's platform on here. Hold on. This is all about free speech. Well, hold on. You made policies to kick off some of my friends. I'm firing you and you and you. I have concerns less on the what is happening scenario and more on the what is not happening. What is not happening is free speech. What is not happening is good leadership. And the impact is not just at Twitter. Let's talk about Tesla. I've been looking at purchasing Teslas, and I have stopped said pursuit because of this, because the impact of what's not happening in a leadership position where you should be is more dramatic than all of this white noise that we're hearing over here. So just my opinion, maybe, Ray. I love your idea of the polls, though. I mean, it's a tell.
Do you think that you can be an effective CEO of such several such big companies?
Twitter is huge. Boring company.
Right. Like, you know what I mean? You got Twitter, you have Tesla, you have SpaceX, you have the solar company, you have these amazingly huge companies. I mean, he's not like picking up like an extra 7-Eleven. He's picking up like these monster enterprises. Do you think you can be capable of doing that?
There's a scalability issue on everything. And in fact, I've, you know, looked at leadership roles to where I've actually asked, can I have a co-CEO? And that's shocking to a lot of people, because maybe co-CEOs don't work. I would challenge that it actually does if you find the right combination, and it's extremely effective. So, okay, let's jump in, because we could talk about this all day long. I'm absolutely fascinated about this, because there's big companies and then there's huge companies. Do you know of a huge company with a leader in said company?
I do have another leader in a huge company, probably one of the largest. And our third story by Kylie Robeson on Fortune.com, a recent Slack message in Salesforce's all-Salesforce channel, CEO Mark Benioff said that employees hired during the pandemic of 2021 and 2022 are especially facing much lower productivity. He then went on to ask feedback about the cause. He went on to ask if it was a reflection of the company policy or if managers were not directly addressing productivity with their teams. He closed the message by adding a smiley emoji and said, asking for a friend. When interviewed, a Salesforce employee said the message was peculiar because many employees are taking advantage of Salesforce's generous PTO for the holidays. Salesforce also recently terminated another policy where employees could take one Friday off per month. That policy was instituted during the pandemic. Benioff went on to say in an interview with Fortune, the quality of your business is the quality of your questions, and that he already had received 500 replies. I mean, we're going opposite, right? First, it's Elon putting up a poll, should I leave? And now we have the boss asking, why aren't you more productive? I like to think that this was in the best of spirits, asking, like, the, you know, he's coming from a good place. But at the same time, he eventually went to the entire 86,000 employees and said, hey, you guys suck. I
mean, not all of you, not all of you, just the people that were hired in that pandemic thing.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? Like, you're putting these people that were hired 2021, 2022, even if you're a high performer, you're getting lumped in with this group based on hire date. And maybe your coworkers start looking at you, not knowing your performance levels, but they start looking at you saying, hey, the CEO kind of thinks you suck. Maybe you do suck.
You know, how do you handle that? So, and this goes back into, and I don't want to politicize this, but this goes back into someone of a very large influential role in, let's say, the government, saying something in any degree of negativity about a company. The impact is drastic. I mean, it is a very simple, in the sales world out there, you call that the penetration rate of organic sales, or, you know, you throw something out there. What's the penetration rate, organic penetration rate of something that you just offer without any advertising or communication? You know, it's typically just sub, you know, it's between, just under 1.5% is the typical, say 2% is the high end. That's organic, strictly organic. The organic penetration rate of negativity is exactly the same, if not a little bit more impactful, where if the boss says something negative about you to others, whoa, I can't imagine what that does for the morale inside the company. And he's inserted that artificially, intentionally, and maybe jokingly. I'm just trying to figure out what was the reason for that. Was he frustrated? Too much caffeine? We all have those days where you kind of let something slip out and you go, hey, lo siento, mia culpa, whatever, you know, whatever you want to say it in language. I'm really sorry. I kind of screwed the pooch on that one. And you get the turds out on the table. You call it as it is and you apologize. I am not seeing that from Mark. So,
I mean, so I'm perfectly aware that as a business owner, there are times when if I walk into a room and I say something in my company, it has the ability, even though my companies are full of free thinkers and, you know, experienced people. But if I walk in and I say something, I know I can color the conversation. I know I can just by inadvertently, but if I lend my opinion one direction, I can shape the course of that conversation. So anybody who's been on meetings with me knows I notoriously refuse to go anywhere but last in giving my opinion, because I want the most honest feedback possible. Now, he says he got 500 responses.
So well said. It's just what you said though. I love how you just kind of, you drop in gold and you just keep walking. I'm like, no, everybody, you just said, listen to what Ray just said. He has the way to completely shift and shape the conversation with the subtlety, the smallest words. And that's incredible. So sorry to distract you. So,
and it's not intention, right? You have the group that sucks up. Right? Let's be honest. Any group, you're going to have somebody that's a suck up. They're going to follow whatever the owner says. But then you also have people that genuinely, hopefully agree with the vision, whatever the company. And then they look and say, okay, well, if the boss thinks this, that's probably the right answer. We should do it. So unintentionally, you're still moving the conversation. And I think we've seen Elon has moved markets by single tweets. He has moved markets to the point where we've had to shut down the trading. I mean, these are major things. So, you know, I think the way it's presented, I think coming from Benioff going, I don't know how you can communicate to 86,000 employees at the same time, but you type that at here or at everyone and it tells you here's 15 time zones and here's the, you know, I can only imagine. But you know, going and doing this I understand the sentiment of, hey, I see something, we need to improve it. Absolutely. Right. I don't know how I would possibly relay that to employees without giving them a major head trip, honestly. I don't know. Tell us, you know, that's our time for this story. So let us know in the chat. Let us know in the comments. Do you have a better way? Do you think he was just being honest? Do you think way off base? You know,
how did the other leader say something that's bad? Like if you're venting. I mean, how do you vent in a way that doesn't spread negativity like a virus throughout your company and kill the morale? I mean, how do you do that? We would love that, especially to share with others.
So I will give you one more point on that. I realized for a long time, so I have those that I rely on that are still my subordinates, but I rely on for counsel and stuff like that. And I realized a while ago that me venting to people that I also see as friends, but that work for me, sometimes colored their opinion of other coworkers or other supervisors. So I have since taken it back. And now I look at it as mommy and daddy principle. Mommy and daddy don't fight in front of the kids. And to me, all my employees are the kids. The mommy and daddy are my executive leadership team, the five of us. And we're equals. We're peers. We can vent to each other all we want, but the kids never know mommy and daddy are fighting over whether or not to buy that Game Boy for Christmas. So, you know, I'll leave it at that. Let us know your feelings in the chat. But we got some notable mentions. Tony, what's yours, man?
Straight from raspberrypi.com, quote, as a thank you to our army of very patient, enthusiastic customers, in the run-up to the holiday season this year, we've been able to set aside a little over 100,000 units split across 0W, 3A+, and the 2GB and 4GB variants of the Raspberry Pi 4. For those looking for more Raspberry Pis this year, Merry Christmas. Look into the show notes for details.
And my notable mention is from Twitter, from user Gregor's Torquet. And I apologize if I butchered, almost guaranteed to have butchered that name. I apologize. But he tweets, Microsoft Windows Explorer hides extensions of 16 file types. Selecting the checkbox File Name Extensions normally allows you to view the extensions. However, these 16 still do not show. This includes the PIF extension, which is executable. That makes it possible to rename a file to show that it looks like one type, but actually does something else. The example given in the tweet is renaming malware.exe to bonus.docx.pif. In that case, Windows will show the file as bonus.docx, but double-clicking the file will actually run the exe. A full list of the extensions can be found in the tweet linked in the show notes. And in feedback from the YouTubes, from our 1216 episode, JOB Technologies said, had a break-fix client, turned down managed services, got ransomware a couple months later, signed up immediately. There's definitely a trend where businesses don't want to spend money on security until something bad happens. I agree, and I'd love to see it go away, but I'm glad you were able to help them. And also, Jose Porras said, SCPs are great. I used one to practice some Python. He's referring to the SCP ESP boards that we're using, that I'm using to do little micro controller projects. Thanks for the feedback, Jose. I love it.
And jumping into the community events, today at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, IT Festivus, presented by Ninja One. Tomorrow, on the 21st, at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Build It Better, MSP discussion presented by Everything MSP. And on December 23rd at 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, the MSP Dispatch Weekly Wrap-Up presented by the MSP Media Network. And finally, on the 23rd at 12 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, Build It Better MSP discussion presented by Everything MSP.
This episode of MSP Dispatch is presented by Cloudy's Heroes. Every year, OIT Gives and OIT VoIP look forward to conducting the annual Toys for Tots Toy Drive in our gift matching program. Let's make a child's wish come true this holiday season by giving back to those in need. To make a donation, visit go.oit.co/cloudysheroes.
So how'd you like today's show? If you liked it, hit the thumbs up button. If you didn't, go ahead and hit it three times. And if you want to hear more, go ahead and hit that subscribe button on YouTube or your favorite podcatcher. Did you know we also have a Discord where we post stories all week? You can propose your own stories and even vote on which ones we'll cover. As my friend Rich Banky says, make sure to tell a friend. Also, be sure to follow us on social media at MSP Media TV. Have any questions? Email news@mspmedia.tv for answers on the next episode, or leave us a voicemail, 833-MSP-Network. Also, I wanted to remind people that when we release these shows, we're now doing them as premieres. So you can not only watch along as it premieres, but chat along with other viewers. It's kind of cool. Tony's jumped in before. I've jumped in before. Phil and Simon are in there usually. Very cool thing to do. So, Tony, I hope you like that notable mention about the Raspberry Pis that are available. I know you complained about not being able to find them.
You know, I wanted to say something like, I know that I'm already ordering them all right now. You can only do one at a time. Single order, single order, single orders. But yes, I got mine for about $1,800. You got yours for like $20. Yes.
Thank supply and demand. Well, until next time, Tony and I will be buying our Raspberry Pis and depleting the stock. Thanks for joining us. Take care of yourselves and each other.
See y'all. Be safe.
This has been a broadcast of the MSP Media Network.
Google has finally announced its long-awaited client-side encryption for Gmail. It has been released in its beta workspace for... I'm muted.
I was letting that go as long as I could because I was like, maybe it's my earpiece.
You know what it was? And you know who gave it away? It's the minions in the chat. So we got Phil and Simon. I see the text message. You're giving me like the full like deadpan. You're just like letting me go. And I'm like, he's way too quiet. I fucked up.
I'm like, is my sound on? You know what? I knew I should not have eaten those brownies in high school. I knew it. Everything just went blank.
Man, it was going to hit me back. Those freaking stamps, man. So,
okay.
All right. So going back to this.
Straight from their site, quote, as a thank you to our army of patient, enthusiastic customers in a, God, we're straight. Hold on. Straight. There we go.
Have any questions? Email news@mspmedia.tv.